Why are cars becoming so expensive? In January 2025, the average price of a new car passed $49,000, the highest it's ever been. Not only that, it's been outpacing inflation rapidly. In fact, in 2024, there were almost no new cars listed under $20,000. Why are cars in the United States so unaffordable? The data doesn't lie. Something is very wrong with the US car market, and it only seems to be getting worse. Is America in the middle of a car bubble, or things about to burst? As it turns out, the rising prices aren't even the worst part. There's something much worse underpinning all of this that could cause this bubble to burst. This situation sounds bad, but Americans are unfortunately used to this. It seems like everything is getting more expensive and outpacing inflation. Groceries, gas prices, housing prices. Cars are just another part of this, right? Well, there's something else going on with cars. Let's dive a bit deeper. $49,000 is a massive price for new cars, about $10,000 more than it was in 2019. The price is going up, but so are other things. Insurance premiums have gone up, so have repair costs and financing rates, according to the Wall Street Journal. But it gets worse. Something happened recently, something bad. The change in car prices and wages used to be consistent. Then in 2021, the price of new cars soared, leaping far above average earnings. Just take a look at this data. This isn't showing car prices, it's showing the change in car prices. For some reason, the rate at which cars got more and more expensive got faster and faster. It has stabilized now, but it still sits at an absurdly high point. You might think, that's fine, I'll just buy secondhand. But somehow, the used car market has been hit much worse. Even those who don't buy new cars are still being hit hard, with the price changes jumping as high as 45%. If you wanted to save for a used car at the end of 2021, it would take 5 more weeks than if you did it the year prior. Both new and used cars are becoming less and less affordable. What's going on? Why are cars getting so expensive and seemingly so quickly? Before we can answer that, we need to look at what kind of cars are being pushed by these companies. When Ford went electric, their two big EV offerings were the F-150 Lightning, an electric variant of their iconic pickup truck, and the Mustang Mach-E, a pseudo-SUV. Despite trying to be eco-friendly, there was no cheap, small alternative. They say there's a small team working on creating one, but it's noticeably absent. It's the same thing at Tesla. They previously promised the next generation of cheaper EVs at $25,000 by the end of 2023. But by April 2024, they had reportedly scrapped those plans. In a later earnings call, an investor asked, "When can we expect Tesla to give us the $25,000 non-robotaxi regular car model?" Elon Musk responded, "I think having a regular 25K model is pointless. It would be silly." And he's not wrong from a business standpoint. CNBC reported that cars below $20,000 traditionally made up 20% of the market. But in 2024, that was just 8%. American car companies aren't interested in smaller cars. Most of them are moving away from cheaper models in favor of giant trucks and SUVs. Why? Well, this is what most Americans actually want. But also, cheaper cars mean tighter margins, especially in EV. So they want you to buy big and buy expensive. Car companies want to make big expensive cars because they're more profitable. Many have even discontinued smaller cheaper models to focus more efforts towards SUVs. It's why most cars on the road seem to be SUVs or gigantic trucks. Small cars don't make good business. Though, it's not like this is just because of car makers. The American public has also gravitated towards the bigger cars, SUVs and pickup trucks. Gigantic cars with all the bells and whistles and, of course, gigantic price tags. I work with guys that buy 100K trucks just to drive back and forth to work. They put 12K worth of wheels and tires on them and complain about the gas prices. And let me tell you, in Texas, that's truer than anywhere else. Loving big cars is one thing, but being able to afford them is another. More recently, customers are starting to move away from SUVs and trucks. Tastes might be changing, but the high price is clearly a key reason. Sales for smaller models like the Honda Civic are rising, up 23% in November 2024, while pickup trucks and SUVs have also been dropping. Analysts are saying that buyers need the functionality that the larger vehicles have, but just need to buy the smaller size. It's not just the price though. Bigger, expensive cars like SUVs and trucks cost more to run day to day. They often require more gas, which has become more expensive. They cost more to insure, which is also rising. But the most outrageous cost is repair. This 2023 Tesla Model Y with a small dent cost $7,000 to repair. This 2019 Chevy Silverado with a scrape on the front bumper cost $1,500. And it's not just small bumps though. These cars often have advanced technology like new cameras or sensors, which are raising prices and can be extremely costly to repair. Big cars somehow became part of the American dream, but many have given it up. So why are prices still going up? There are multiple factors working against the auto industry, and one people point to are raw materials. Rubber has been fairly stable, but aluminum saw a gigantic spike in the pandemic. Steel is the same. With Trump's tariffs in 2025, these might jump again, but it doesn't fully explain why car prices got so high, and more importantly, have stayed so high. But there are other components that do. Between 2020 and 2023, we saw the global semiconductor crisis. The pandemic threw production and supply chains into chaos, and everyone was fighting for chips. This crisis was so severe that governments saw chip production as a national security risk. In response, the Biden administration introduced the Chips and Science Act, which was signed into law in August of 2022. About $50 billion in private investment was given for semiconductor manufacturing. So, what does this have to do with cars? Well, new cars becoming more and more computerized are all tied to semiconductors, which have been experiencing all kinds of constraints, notably in 2023. All automakers need semiconductors, but so do consumer electronics, machine learning, cloud computing, 5G, military devices, medical equipment, and robotics. When one component has so much demand but restrained supply, it's naturally going to drive up prices. Funnily enough, it's reported that the global semiconductor shortage is largely thanks to the auto industry. This is why in 2024, Elon Musk diverted chips away from Tesla to xAI. They're just too valuable. But something still doesn't quite add up. Semiconductors are still in high demand, especially with the AI boom, but things seem to have settled away from a crisis. The price of aluminum has also fallen substantially, and steel has dropped to its lowest point in years. The pandemic caused the perfect storm to increase the price of cars, but why have they stayed high? Well, as it turns out, something very interesting happened post-pandemic. During the pandemic's tight supply chains and chip shortages, dealerships were hit with a low supply, but something interesting happened. Demand for cars was still present, so the price of cars began to shoot up. This explains what we saw in 2021. During all of this, car makers realized something. Having more demand and higher prices is pretty good, so why go back to normal? Carl Brower, an executive analyst at iccars.com, explained that the attitude is that demand is strong enough to not sell lower margin-based models and to not spend as much improving the cars year over year. The COVID experience showed both automakers and dealers the upsides related to higher margins and reduced sales. And he's right, this lines up with the data. Prices aren't coming down, at least not much. Automakers now, post-pandemic, are keeping lower inventory to inflate demand and profit margins. There seems to be one exception to this in affordable cars, but it's not in favor of the American companies. There's one way some companies have offered cheap cars, even cheap EVs, but even that might be disappearing soon. It's possible auto companies are gripping onto their high prices and profit margins because of the billions they're losing on EVs. After all, without high margins on gas vehicles, the tens of billions required for battery manufacturing and research are impossible. Ford has been losing tens of thousands for every EV they produce, so it's no wonder cheap EVs seem to be impossible. Then there's General Motors. The American car giant just released one of the only affordable EVs under $30,000, but here's the catch. They can only do it with government support and tax credits. The Chevy Equinox lists at $35,000, but only after a $7,500 tax break, putting the real price well above $40,000. Much of the huge push for EVs came from governments, be it mandating all gas cars be gone or offering subsidies. But that too is changing. The EV market has become volatile and governments which pushed for them are now backing out. Trump just ordered the EV subsidies to end, and Germany announced it would end theirs in late 2023 with tightening budgets. Why does this matter? Well, it becomes especially alarming when we look at China. The US has struggled to keep up with China, who regularly produces cheap and affordable cars. In fact, throughout 2023 and 2024, Chinese car prices have been dropping by up to 9%. How are they so much cheaper? Well, the Chinese government has offered support for EVs for a long time, since 2009. Tax breaks for EV development, tax incentives for lower prices, even subsidies for trade-ins when upgrading to a new EV. This is expected to increase industry sales by 3 million in 2025 and continue growth in the double digits. They are phasing them out, but unlike the US or other Western countries, it's a very slow process, with subsidies slowly decreasing over the course of many years. They're likely to be provided until the end of 2027 if they aren't extended even further. The US market just can't compete with this, but it goes beyond government support. It goes beyond EVs too. Chinese manufacturers are notably efficient and try to keep as much of production in-house as possible, with less reliance on suppliers. They lose more money early in production, but as things ramp up, they quickly reach economies of scale where costs are spread across more units. US companies tend to try and achieve profits in the short term and have much higher labor costs. Yet, there's still one unanswered question. If cars are so unaffordable, how are people buying them? It's not like housing where investors purchase and rent them out. How are prices still so high if people can't actually buy them? Well, technically, they aren't. Beneath all of this is another epidemic that's hurting buyers and creating the real car bubble. Americans are in a debt crisis. More and more people are buried in it, be it credit card debt, mortgages, student loans, buy now, pay later, but a huge proportion of it comes from cars, and it's getting worse. For the first time in years, auto debt surpassed student loans as the second largest debt for US citizens. But I don't think that really makes the problem clear. Just look at the data. The debt has risen to almost $1.7 trillion just for America, but car sales haven't followed this path at all. They've risen and fallen and don't match consumer debt at all. This has been a problem for a while, but recently it's become a crisis. With the rising prices, the only way people can afford cars is to finance them with weekly or monthly payments. But prices are so high that to make this even possible for many Americans, the financing options have gotten longer and longer. Some of them have even reached 84 months. That's 7 years. 7 years to pay off a car. Remember, that's with interest as well, meaning the amount customers pay off is much, much more than the actual value of the car, which is already overpriced, which causes another problem. Subprime borrowers, aka low credit score customers, are falling further behind. More and more customers are failing to make car payments, and the subprime 60-day delinquency rate, meaning payments that are over 60 days late, has been climbing. In May 2021, it was 2.6%, but by late 2023, it was over 6%. Car repossessions also rose 28% in August 2023, compared to the previous year. This might not sound like much, I mean, it's only about 6%. But even a small increase in defaults can have a huge impact. When more and more people fail to pay debt, it causes a lot of problems. It was a key factor in the 2008 financial crisis. A record number of subprime borrowers defaulted on mortgages, which caused the domino effect. Things are starting to look similar. From 2022, interest rates began to jump, and the dealerships began giving out more and more subprime loans. Some of them soon went bankrupt because of failed payments. Rising debt, rising subprime defaults, rising prices. Is this a bubble? Yes, but there is hope. Things aren't quite the same as 2008. For example, the subprime rate appears to be slowly shrinking even though defaults are increasing. And cars, unlike houses, are items that can be sold quickly, but there's still cause for alarm. Things can't continue as they are. Either prices come down, lenders get crushed by bad debt, or buyers keep stretching themselves thinner and thinner until they can't anymore. With these prices, people aren't buying cars, they're borrowing them. This only works as long as the payments keep coming in, but what happens if they stop? If prices continue to be unstable and debt is rising, it's only a matter of time until something finally breaks, and I don't think we have to wait much longer to find out. What's funny is that despite these sky-high prices, automakers are losing more money than ever. Check out this video to learn about Ford's $100 billion EV disaster. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.